foundation has been in place for about 7 or 8 years.
Great.
So we, actually all the schools in Madison have an endowment of at least $10,000. Some of the schools have done different fundraising.
And Cherokee, the one that you went to, is one of the leaders.
Oh, yes, it is.
Excellent.
And Marge is a former Cherokee teacher, so yeah, we've plugged Cherokee a lot.
The Cherokee lobby is here.
And Jim's also a Cherokee parent.
There
so.
Wow. We go.
Mark, yeah, that's great.
Penny Lapham.
And you do the principal for a day program.
We do the principal for a day program. Yes, right. And we are really working with different organizations in the community to build partnerships in the schools. I mean, there are many groups that are doing that, and you know, there can't be too many partnerships with the schools. Yeah. So anyway, welcome to Madison.
Thank you so much.
Have you been here before?
I have. I was here once about 10 years. Well, I was here a couple times the past couple weeks, but I was here.
Right.
I was here about 10 years ago.
Well, it's
great city.
It is a great city, and the downtown has changed immensely since then.
Yes,
so,
well, it's always, it looks like there's always building going on.
Is it Boston? Has it always been where you've worked? Or?
I grew up in Boston. I've also worked as I was a teacher in East St. Louis, Illinois.
Really?
In a small alternative
went
school.
To senior prom at East St. Louis.
Did you really?
I was important.
I bet.
I went to Elgin, Illinois.
Okay.
I grew up there. So, yeah. Last time I was in St. Louis was for senior prom.
Okay. Amazing.
1960-something.
High school senior prom?
High school
1960
senior.
Something.
Yeah, about 63.
My niece is a professor at Northeastern, and she's in school psychology, and she's been doing some work with the Boston Schools for Nutrition Project.
Oh, great. Yeah.
She said that those have been really successful.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, we just had a press conference yesterday on nutritious drinks. So we've got the middle schoolers, you know, we've done all this work in the school to have nutritious options for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, have juices instead of sodas and things like that. And then walk out the middle school and there's a convenience store right there.
Yeah,
so
I know. We face that same issue.
So we've been trying to work with the convenience store
Madison.
To say, let's put the milk up front and the 100% juices up front and put the soda in the back.
How's that going?
Good. It was a good initiative. Yes, you know, we got some buy-in from some of the convenience store owners and things, so it's been good.
Good.
I interrupted you with my senior prom, so.
Oh, that's okay. So we kind of got distracted.
But I'm remembering
the
girl.
She was really cute.
I think you know her.
Everyone, let's spend door. Some time on your senior prom right now.
Well, so I taught in East St. Louis. I taught at a small alternative high school in East St. Louis. It was for kids who had dropped out or been kicked out of the traditional high school.
Right.
So I taught English and anatomy and physical education.
Was that
anatomy?
That must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was.
That school system was taken over by the state.
Yeah,
but that came later, I presume.
At the time I was there, I mean, the city infrastructure in East St. Louis is difficult. There's a lot of poverty. At the time I was there, they actually, they had a lot of financial difficulties and things like that. So it was a challenging place to be, but the kids were terrific. I mean, the students were excellent, and if you could engage them and
what did you
eliminate
teach?
Some of the distractions, you could really get
what did you teach?
English, anatomy, physical education.
Wow.
Yeah, in a small school you teach whatever you need to teach.
Whatever.
So, and I had a great experience. It was wonderful.
How did you end up back in Boston?
What's that?
What brought you back to Boston?
I grew up in Boston, and it seemed like the right time to go back. I had been in Buffalo for a few years, and I had been in St. Louis for a little while, and then went back to Boston. I've been with the Boston Public Schools for the last 10 years. Most of the time as budget director, now as the chief operating officer. But I'm looking forward.
So why don't you have a Boston accent?
I really don't. It's not that bad, is it?
My husband grew up outside of Boston, and his mother-in-law has a very strong Boston accent.
There's certain words. It's weird if I say certain things.
It's like Marge is Southern.
Like that.
Yeah. My Southern accent comes out all the time.
Ouch. Cruel group.
Well, yeah, we have
you all New York.
A little strong New York accent, right?
Yeah, just look a little bit.
South Bronx.
No, Brooklyn.
I know it's Brooklyn.
What's to be ashamed of?
Well, there's a war goes on between Bronx and Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Literally.
No.
There he is.
No, I know.
Answer your question right before you ask it.
Sure.
But we've done a lot of hard work, but it's a huge challenge. I've seen some of the data from Madison, and particularly when I looked at the graduation rates for high school, done a lot of great work in closing the achievement gap there. A lot more work to do, you know, certainly, and it's an enormously important issue. There's been some progress.
Right. It would be important to share maybe later
New Yorkers and
the demographics.
Sure. Yeah, perspective. We've got about 85% of our students are non-white in the Boston Public Schools. A little over half are African American, smaller Latino.
And that's how you can cut the public
population.
That's how bad.
But I think we made a lot of great strides under Dr. Faisant in Boston. He was our superintendent for about 11 years and did some great work and made some strides in closing the achievement gap. What got me into policy was I did a master's degree in urban affairs at Boston University. So after I taught in East St. Louis, I kind of wanted to. The urban affairs degree was sort of about processing my experience and sort of figuring out what the dynamics were behind it. My PhD in public policy was about, okay, now what do I do about it?
Right. I bet you know people at Philophilid Institute here or know of their work. That's the Madison campus.
It's been out there.
Quite a strong policy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And their ed policy in the department is also very exciting. So.
Yeah, and some great partnerships with the university.
Absolutely. That's a really strong link. So, hopefully we'll hear more about those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marcia Hendrickson. I'm with the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, great.
I'm
a
board member
that's
not
terrific.
Some of you here?
Yeah. Community networking.
April. Wonderful. Okay, that's great. So how many Boys and Girls Club do you have? A lot of parents actually had issues making sure that they were able to help their students do the homework.
I don't know that one, but I haven't even heard of that one.
Yeah, there were some complexities to it, and it's just different. It's conceptual mathematics, and I think so many of our parents were so traditional in terms of their math education that they had.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
I've heard that in other places.
Yeah. But the Turk 2, which is the next sort of iteration, the next generation of the curriculum, apparently has much more in terms of being able to have parents help their kids and make sure the parents understand the concepts and things like that.
So it's Investigations Elementary?
Yes. Investigations is... Turk is the company.
Okay.
Investigations is the
oh, okay.
Connected Math.
You have to mention that.
It's a contentious issue. What do I think?
Yeah.
You could ask the teachers.
It's really poorly.
Yeah.
And so I got a bad rap from day one, and so it's sort of like, should we, is it salvageable at this point, or do you throw it out and start over? What do you do?
Right.
Anyway, I think it's a problem.
Yeah.
And in high school, everyone's doing something different. It's not coordinated across the high school.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's using different platforms and everything.
Yeah.
Kind of a problem. I mean, a problem here from the perspective that it's not coordinated curriculum. You know, kids still do pretty well overall. I mean, ACT scores are good in math. And, you know, but we've had really flat math scores the last 5, 6, 7 years. So.
Yeah. And part of what I heard in a couple of places today was that you've got, you know, fairly substantial, probably growing student mobility. And if you don't have a consistency.
That's kind of what I worry about elementary. I didn't realize we didn't have, a common curriculum in elementary. My kids went to Mendota.
That's where I went.
Okay, so they do everyday math, right? And have invested a lot of time and energy into implementing really well there. But not everybody does that program, you know? And so kids are really old. That's, they're going from probably Mendota to, you know, I don't know, wherever the other housing is that's affordable around, you know? And so they're not all getting the same experience.
Right.
We're really working towards having common ground across the school.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, but see, we're with Chavez. So Chavez is doing investigation. He's doing everything math.
Yeah.
I don't know how they connect,
right.
You know, I mean, it's just going from one to the other. Is
right.
Going to be walking into the same
starting
thing.
Starting over.
So familiar.
Right.
So we have to figure out.
And what's the profession development like around around the mathematics and around the science arts.
For my school, that is so we really focus on math through staff development, staff meetings, and give that time to staff development and have people who with the so we've done some work in that area.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, it seems so school-based now because, like, I have a friend who lives in the school district. They do everyday math. They like, joined with some other districts around, because they're a really small district, to do staff development. You know, bring somebody up from the everyday math, whatever company does that.
Right.
In the summer to do some staff development. Well, Sandy, because this guy's kid goes to Mendota, knew about it and could send some of her teachers to that staff development. But if the district isn't all doing everyday math, then you wouldn't even have that from a district perspective. So, I don't know, it's kind of a weird
thing. I'm going to interrupt here. I'm sorry, this is my role. Jim, I think I'm going to move you up.